What's up, everybody? This is your girl, author Monique Duell, and welcome to another episode of Having a Moment with Moni Radio, streaming live all the way to the beautiful people in Benin, Nigeria. Are y'all all right? Good. Listen, I have a couple of quick announcements before I get right into it. Friday, January the 27th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join me on the Empowered Push with Prophetess Jackie Stamps. It is streaming on YouTube, on Roku TV, and I believe Facebook Live, y'all. That's Friday night. And then on Saturday morning, January the 28th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, join me on Dr. Danita Edwards' Disability in the Church Live. It is streaming on her page on Facebook Live, Dr. Donita, D-O-N-I-T-A, Edwards, and it is called Disability in the Church Live, Closing the Divide Between Disability and Ability. I will be on there sharing my books and my testimony, all of those kinds of things. So check that out. I would love to see you read your comments and all those kinds of things on both of those platforms. Shout out to Prophetess Jackie and shout out to Dr. Donita for allowing me to grace their platforms. All right, let's get right into it, y'all. How was your week? Oh, man, let me tell y'all something. We have, now that, you know, we are back in full swing of things and all of that. For those who are just listening, I talked briefly about my COVID journey on last week on the show, and my whole family had it just about. And it was interesting, to say the least, but I thank and praise God for healing and for restoration of health, y'all. You don't appreciate certain things until it is threatened and you don't have it the way you used to have it. And a lot of times we take our health for granted. We take life and breathing for granted until it is threatened. And then we just go into a mode of fight or flight sense and reflection and all those kinds of things. So I thank God that we did not need ventilators. We did not need hospitals and all of those things. But I will tell you this. This is the most that I've had my voice in recent weeks. And I'm I know you've heard people say things like, after they have recovered from COVID, they have had lasting effects and things like that. Me being hoarse has been a lasting effect. And I've discovered, y'all, that my food don't taste the way it used to taste to me anymore. I have pretty much adjusted my whole diet because things don't taste the way they used to taste. I know what I'm eating because I'm looking at it, but it is not satisfying to my palate anymore. It is not satisfactory to my body. My body does not feel the same way. And look, that's a good thing in my case, because trying to lose weight and eat healthier, the eating healthier part is not the problem. The maintaining and trying to be creative with different foods and cutting away all of the things that you know that are not healthy for you one at a time. Don't listen, y'all. Don't crash and burn because you're trying to strip everything all at once. Take one issue at a time, one area at a time. I don't like food. I don't like food like I used to. I have become one of the pickiest eaters that I used to talk about. I have family members who are so picky, they will only eat what they eat. You cannot persuade them to taste anything new, to eat anything new, to even entertain trying anything new. I've become that. I had chicken. You know, chicken. Chicken is a staple in a black household, just like ramen. I didn't like it. I did not like the chicken, y'all. I didn't. It was something else I had the other day, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but I did not like it. I ended up giving it away. And so, yeah, my taste buds have changed. My appetites, whew, y'all pray for me. My appetites have changed. And this is great, because this is leading me right to the point of this episode of Having a Moment with Moni. As you grow and mature, whether it's because of an illness or because of some epiphany or revelation God has given you. As you grow and mature, your appetites will change. Even in the natural, as you grow and mature, things that used to fit you won't fit you anymore. Hello, somebody. Your appetites will change. The things that used to turn your tweeters and satisfy you as you grow and mature in the things of God and stuff, they won't be the same. And if they are, there's a problem. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But for us who are in this flesh, we are supposed to die daily to this flesh. That means things are supposed to change. Something is supposed to fall off. You know, a tree and a plant and all those things get pruned so they can bear more fruit and grow. This is the same thing in the spirit. Your appetites and things should change. Your appetite for God should change. Your appetite for his word should change. Your appetite for prayer and fasting and worship should change. Your appetite to want to see souls saved and people healed and delivered rather than being bitter and angry and enraged and walking in unforgiveness. All of that should be on a path to letting those things go. All of those things should be done away with the more you mature in Christ. Listen, there are things that I have eaten all my life. And now it's like, eh. Okay. The things that the foods that used to excite me that may have or may not have been my favorites are now like, eh. If I have them, I have them. If I don't, I don't. I need y'all to catch what I just said in the spirit. As you mature in Christ, baby. That old friend that found your phone number because you did not block them and got through to your phone line won't even turn your tweeters no more, baby. those places that you used to go, that you will be the first one in the car and pissed off if somebody did not go with you to those places. I mean, or angry, should I say. Lord, forgive me. I'm working on that word. It won't even trigger a response in you anymore. The people that used to just try to manipulate you emotionally and all those kinds of things that guilt trip you and emotionally blackmail you, it won't come nigh you no more because your appetite has changed. They won't even get a response or rise out of you anymore. This is what happens as you grow and mature in life, in the things of God, as you continue to interact with people, places, and things, and in business, and in your everyday life. You will start to realize, if you pay close attention to your life and not being distracted or consumed by social media and all of these things that are literally there to distract you, you will discover that a lot of the things that you have responded to and a lot of the situations you've placed yourself in, they weren't really necessary for your growth at all. They weren't even worth a second thought. But because we are flesh and we got to prove to people that you're not going to do this to me or you're not going to do that to me. You're not. Understand this. I'm not saying don't set boundaries and let it be known when you are offended or anything like that. But there's a time and place for things, and you have to set healthy boundaries as a representative of Christ, that is. Because anytime the enemy catches you on any given day and you have gotten out of godly character, you fail. You could have very well lost a witness to someone. And you may or may not get that opportunity to go back that way again. This is why we have to be sober and vigilant, as the word says. Because the enemy is roaming around seeking whom he may devour. That means he has an opportunity. May means it's a possibility, but it's not etched in stone. May means, meh. May is a suggestion. I am the enemy suggests, because he is the accuser of the brethren. He is suggesting every day, every minute, every second, every hour of every day, that you undo what you have done for Christ. And the word says this, only what you do for Christ will last. So with that being said, what are you doing? Where's your appetites? Have you developed a palate for the things of God? Because let me tell you, you're not going to get it. Don't come automatically. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It's not going to automatically come to you. It's not an innate ability. you're just not going to choose that first and foremost. It is a learned behavior to choose Christ every day. It is a learned reaction to follow in the word and follow the things of God. It is a learned reaction because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We're going to do the fleshly thing first, always. And sometimes we go all the way with it. And sometimes if we hearken unto the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit will check us and say, don't do that. Don't say that. Delete that. Don't call them. Don't go there. And like I said, God is always speaking, but are we in a position to hear? What are you feeding yourself on a daily basis? What are you feeding yourself? And listen, I'm there with y'all. I just told y'all earlier, this journey, living a healthy lifestyle. I'm not saying trying, because once you move, once you are in forward progress and motion, you're no longer trying, you are doing. I'm going to leave that alone. But what are you feeding your spirit? What are you feeding your mind? Who are you hanging around? What, Lord Jesus, mom brain, it is 2:39 a.m. In the States where I am. What are you feeding your mind? What are you allowing in your eye gates and your ear gates? Yes, we can say all day long, we could look at certain things because we enjoy the shows or we enjoy the music and we just pray over ourselves. But that's like saying, I'm going to go ahead and smoke this cigarette and all the smoke is already in my lungs. And then I'm just going to pray that God doesn't let the smoke affect my lungs. Does that make any sense? No. God loves us so much, y'all. His love and his providence for us is so much deeper than the mundane things we do every day. Do you know that God will speak to you in such a deeper way, on a deeper level? Your mind is like, whoa, we can't even begin to fathom or comprehend the depths of who he is. Who the Holy Spirit is, who the Father is. We just think just because we can speak in tongue and we shout and we have read the Bible from cover to cover, we have mastered the art of Christianity. No, we haven't. We feel like we have mastered Christianity and salvation. No, we haven't. No, we haven't. You 40 years is like a day in the presence of God. So if that is the case, then if you are, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, you've only spent about, at 80 years old, you've only spent about cumulative amount of 2 days with God. Woo. See, God is not confined by this time and space that we look at, the clock and the seasons. He's not confined by that. God is massive. And just like we go, we have all these different restaurants and all of these different grocery stores and gas station convenience stores and 7-Elevens and things like that. There's something there's something in the world for everybody. There's something in the kingdom of God for everybody. We have different foods and different sauces and different, drinks and waters and fruit and vegetables and all of that. In the kingdom of God, there are different levels of the Holy Spirit. There are different levels of the anointing. There are different gifts according to the grace that has been given to each and every one of us. There is something for everyone in the body of Christ. Woo, baby. Let me tell y'all something. You ever got really excited because you were going to a high-end restaurant where, the food was expensive, only to find out that it was average at best and it didn't even satisfy your palate, but you still had to pay for it? Look, this is how sin works. You think sin is so grandiose and you living life like it's gold and you lit and all this other kind of stuff, you and all that kind of stuff. and you just doing everything that you are big and bad enough to do, only to discover that once you get into these situations, it wasn't even nowhere near what you thought it was going to be in the world. However, my God, thank you, Holy Spirit, when you come into the presence of God and feel the anointing of God, it's going to be everything and then some. And guess what? It's not going to be what you expected, because how do you know what to expect from a holy king when you've never been in his royal court? If you have never met a dignitary or sat in high places with dignitaries, you have no idea what to expect when you sit down at the table. You just know that you are not in the place that you were in when you stepped outside from the regular folks into the, you know, wherever you are with the dignitaries. You have went from, you know, the average mundane to what you consider luxury and wealth and power and authority. But guess what? None of that compares to the authority that has been given to the that has been given to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God has the authority to turn the hearts of kings and princes, and like the rivers of water, their heart, the king's heart is in his hands, and like the rivers of water, he turneth them whithersoever he will. At his name do the wind and the seas obey him, and at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At his name the captives are set free, the dead are raised, the unsaved are saved. We are covered in the blood of Jesus. We are overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The president ain't got nothing on God. What are you eating? What are you feeding yourself? What is your palate like? What do you have a taste for? What do you have a crave for that you feel like you have to consult the world to get it? What is missing in your life that you need God to fulfill and make you whole? All of us have areas that we have breaches in our spirit, and we are emotionally bankrupt and mentally bankrupt and spiritually bankrupt. We need to go to the will of God and allow him to fill us and freely fill us as he will. Don't limit him. Don't box him in. And I'm saying this from experience, because God has been dealing with me with that same thing. Is there anybody else out there other than me? And I'm going to throw myself out there. Is there anybody else out there other than me who feels unworthy at times of all of the things God said we were going to have and who he said we are in him? I'm raising my hand over here. Y'all can't see me. I'm raising two hands at this point. That's me. Sometimes you believe in yourself and the things that God has given you, and you feel powerful, like you can move mountains and cause walls to fall like God can. And then there's other times you feel like just burying yourself and just, you know, like, nope, I'm closed for business. God wants us to get to the point where our appetites and our desires for him don't fizzle out just because the circumstances and the situations around us are more complex than we thought that they would be. This is what I mean. We don't know what the situations and the issues we're going to have to deal with is going to look like, because we're not God. We don't think like him. We don't respond like him. We don't act like him. This is what I mean about that fancy restaurant. You get there, you go, I paid $500 for a steak, only to discover the steak they fed you was a steak from Costco that was probably $15, $20 at the most. But now you've paid almost 12 times that amount because of whose name was on the restaurant. Because of whose name was on the building, and because of whose reputation was on the line. Do you hear me? Your reputation is on the line. Every day you go out into the world and go to work and do things, your reputation is on the line. Why do you think you go on job interviews? They don't want to just know what you've done on these jobs. They're reading to find out what kind of reputation you've had within these careers that you've had. What kind of rapport do you have with people? I told y'all last week, a good name is everything. Once you ruin it, it is done. Unless the Lord restores it, it is done. It is finished. You are going to have to pay more than you are willing to pay if your heart is not towards God. You're getting gypped. Let me say that. You're continuing to sin, you're getting gypped. You know why? Because you will never get what you want from the enemy. It will never be enough for you. It wasn't designed to be enough. Sin was not designed to be enough. This is why Jesus died, because there nothing the enemy can offer you will ever be enough to save your soul or anything else for that matter. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He made sure that we would be able to live and move and have our very being in him when he sacrificed his life on the cross for us. When he died and shed his perfect blood, which nobody else could do, not even Satan himself. Nobody else could do it. Nobody else could swear by his greatness or his majesty and his omnipotence, his omnipresence and his omniscience but him. And baby, I promise you, if you give him a chance and eat at his table and drink from his well, it is going to be well worth it. It is going to be beyond more than you can ask or think. It's going to be overflow. It's going to be overflow. It's going to be massive. It's going to be so much that you cannot comprehend it. Everything in God is complete. He that is in Christ is a new creation, says the word. Old things have passed away. Behold, meaning now. Behold, look at it. Behold, bam, all things have become new. And if you don't know this Jesus we're talking about, let me pause right here and tell you that God loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants to love you and fill you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to heal you from all of the hurt, pain, anger, disappointment, trauma, all of those kinds of things that you have gone through in your life, and bring you to a place of wholeness and wellness and prosperity in your soul. And the word says, above all, I pray that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I'm paraphrasing. God wants you to experience prosperity as your soul prospers. There's no point in you having $5 billion and you're broken and destroyed emotionally and spiritually, because you're going to lose the $5 billion, because you're going to use it to cope in all the ways that God did not tell you to. God wants to heal you and make you whole. So if you are listening to this radio show, And you know that you need Christ, and you know that you have done some things that you are not proud of, there's no guilt, no shame, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've walked away from God because you were once there and you allow church folk and the fanatical and the showmanship, you know, performance of the church deter you from knowing the Christ, all you have to do is say, God, forgive me for my sins. I come to you, Father. I am a sinner. I have done things I am not proud of. I'm asking you to forgive me, to cleanse my heart, to save me once again. And if you haven't been saved before, Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you died and was buried and rose on the third day for my sins and my mess, Father. I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. Help me to embrace you as my loving Father. Forgive me for all of my sins and my shortcomings, because against you have I transgressed. I need you, God. I have no other options. There's no other thing I can turn to. I'm tired of the clubs. I'm tired of the drinking and the weed and the porn and the sex and the manipulation. God, save me from myself. I need you to save me, God, and heal me. And then you can ask for the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. He is a gift. He is not an it. Listen, I'm going to keep saying it. The Holy Spirit is not an it. You don't catch it like it's a cold or something like that. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. So when you're in church, girl, the Holy Spirit hit us. You had an experience with the Holy Spirit. You had a visitation or an experience by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit touched you. Those are the better words to use to describe the Holy Spirit. Don't disrespect him like that. This is why words are so important. This is why you read and study the word. You stop saying these cliche things and these things that are not biblical, and some of them are downright disrespectful unto God. He will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And don't be afraid when you do, because, you know, your heavenly language ain't going to sound like everybody else's. And most of it is, some of these people who are performing is made up anyhow. But that's another story. You will babble like a baby, just like you do as a natural baby. You say syllables, make noises, and all those kinds of things until you learn the Holy Spirit and you spend more time with God in prayer and in fellowship, and you will begin to speak in your heavenly language. Don't sweat it. Take your time. God is a patient man, and he is very gentle and loving with us. He's not going to force himself on us. And so if you do that, your palate will begin to change. If you are serious about God, in a natural, when you know when somebody is serious about wanting to do business with you, if they're serious about wanting to have a relationship with you, they're serious about wanting to buy your product, because their body language will tell you so. The way they interact with you will tell you so. It's the same in the spirit. The Lord knows when you're ready. He is a loving father. He's not a deadbeat dad. He's not going to just, you know, throw himself on you. And he's not going to give you something that is not going to be for your benefit, for your good and his glory. Learn of him. Learn his word. Spend quality time with him. Sometimes you will sit and pray and talk to him, and other times just sit in his presence. Lord, I'm here. Speak to me. What is it that you're saying to me? What is it that you want me to know this morning, this afternoon, this evening? On your way home, listen, embrace God every moment that you have of the day. Lunch break. Hey, Father, thank you that I have a lunch break because I have a job that you have given me. What do you need me to know this afternoon? First thing in the morning before you go to work. Ooh, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. What's the move for today? You know how the kids say, what's the move for today? Lord, what would you have me to do today? And repent always before you listen. Repentance is so important because you want to be free and clear. So when you out there ministering to other people and encouraging other people, you don't want nothing blocking the move of God. Once he gives you an assignment, you don't want to do that. This is what I mean. Your appetites will change. You're not going to have time for this foolishness out here. Trust me, y'all, there's nothing out here but foolery outside of the people who are living for God and doing what God wants us to do in this hour. Outside of that, there's nothing but folly and distraction and death and calamity and sickness. The world needs our help. Notice I say the world. Even the body of Christ need our help. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So that means we need help. We need to help one another as well as we help we help the unbelievers. Y'all, my brain is going so fast because I'm trying to make sure I say everything the Lord has given me to say to y'all this morning. And listen, I said this on a platform the other day. I was being asked about special needs parenting and emotional grief. And y'all, if y'all haven't checked that out, side note, Grief is a Gangster. My grief book is everywhere. It's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And I'm talking about how to grieve health in a healthy way. I got 7 nuggets of wisdom that will be a blessing to you, mama and them, Pookie and them. So go grab your copy. And if you want an autographed copy from me, hit me up on social media. I'm all over social media. Just Google my name. You'll find me. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Wisdom app, Clubhouse. And my link tree is linktr.ee/MoniqueDuel, where you'll find links to all of that stuff. And so they asked me about grieving. Emotionally, they asked me what propels me to keep going forward every day and things like that. I told her, I said, listen, there are days when I am crying before I go before people to encourage them, or when I, you know, or going to the grocery store and all these kinds of things. Wherever I'm going, there are days when I'm crying and I'm crying out to God and things like that, because when you have a child with special needs, that pain does not go away. It's always there. it's always there ready to suck you in and to take you under in depression and oppression and guilt and shame if you allow it to. I told her it's a choice. Just like the word says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. If you're going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve Satan, there's no in between. You can't decide. You can't be like, okay, God, I'm gonna serve you. And then at 2 o'clock, I'm gonna go over here with the devil and go do what he wants me to do, but I'll be back. No, it don't work like that. So I told her every day I deliberately make a choice after I lay in bed and stir my ceiling fan and take deep breaths and go, okay, good Lord, what do we have to do today? And tell myself, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, Monique. I have to repeat the word to myself. I don't want to get out of bed. Can I be honest? No, I don't want to get out of bed knowing I have to go downstairs and pretty much micromanage my 22-year-old with cerebral palsy that I have to cook for, cut his hair, manscape, change diapers, bathe him, dress him, lift him, and all those kinds of things. No, my flesh ain't trying to do all that. I want to just get up, go out the door and do whatever I want to do and then come back home and go to bed. But we can't do that. Because we have a responsibility and a mandate. God has given all of you all before you were created in your mother's womb. He has already given you an assignment and a mandate. And it is up to you to accept the mandate, agree with the mandate, and carry the mandate out. He is not going to force you. It is not going anywhere. There's no exchange line because you don't want the spiritual gifts and the callings that are without repentance, by the way, that God has given you. You ain't going to go to God and be like, no, I don't want to be a prophet. No, I don't want to be a pastor. I just want to sing on the choir. No, I just want to clean the church bathrooms. No, I just want to, do children's church and all that. Don't work like that, baby. I'm here to tell you, tried it. The other day I was sitting there and we were praying and interceding and stuff. And the person just belted out, the Lord said, yes, I called you to what I called you to. Do not ask me again. I said, whoa. And when I tell you, I felt that in the pit of my stomach, like the Lord jacked me up by my throat. Like we used to get jacked up by our collars, by our mamas, because we wouldn't behave. I felt that thing. I said, oh, God, forgive me. I will never question you in that area again. This is what I'm saying. The Lord will speak to you. And if you don't hear him clearly, he has no problem confirming what he said. He will send whomever and whatever. Read the Bible. The man who put the fleece out, I don't know how many times he put it out. I can't remember. But he put it out 50-11 times because he wanted to be sure that he knew that he heard from the Lord, that he knew emphatically it was the Lord. One day he asked for the fleece to be wet. The other day he asked for the fleece to be dry. Then he asked for something else concerning the fleece. He just kept going. And guess what? God didn't mind. Because he knew who he was dealing with. See, that's the thing about a loving father. God has several children. He knows what it takes for Monique, but he knows what it takes for you as well who are listening to me. He knows that if he tells me to do X, Y, Z, I'm going to do that. But if he tells me to do something off the wall and stuff like that, like he told that man to do in the Bible, I'm going to say, Lord, can you confirm? Because I want to make sure I heard you right. And the thing is this, y'all. When the Lord tells us to do extraordinary things, why do we question it? Because that's who God is. He's extraordinary. So if we're serving an extraordinary God and an omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient King, we should be running to do that thing. And I don't know why we don't. How is it that we could let fear enter in when there are things God wants us to do, but we're not afraid when we ask for a husband? We're not afraid when we ask for a new house, a new car. We want millions. We ain't afraid to take the money or none of that. But we're afraid when he asks us to go witness to somebody, or he asks us to go lay hands on somebody that they may be healed. What is wrong with us? I'm saying us because I'm included. What is wrong with us? This is what I mean. Your mindset has to change. Your palate has to change. Your appetite to want to see others complete and whole and healed and saved has to change. We have to care. We have to love our fellow man once again. We have lost the capacity to care like we used to. We don't unless it directly affects us. We care for a half a second when we hear stories of gloom and doom and, unfortunate situations and circumstances, and a lot of our consciences have been seared. We are numb to the things that are happening in the world. We have gotten to a point where it doesn't bother us. And I'm not saying that we should be bothered to the point of falling out and all that kind of stuff. But there's always a prayer that we can say. Prayer is absolutely needed all day, every day. There's no such thing as there's nothing we can do. If you can pray, that's something you can do. Because the word says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That means it accomplishes a lot. It means that word availeth means is that it's successful. It accomplishes what you have prayed. Your prayer is successful. You have accomplished whatever the Lord laid on your heart to pray for, because it is up to God. Is sovereign. He makes the decisions and things like that, but he uses us to fulfill his purpose in the earth. We are his representatives. We are his eyes and ears and all of that in the earth. So what are you doing? You know, I had a whole revelation about the fact that I did not like the foods that I used to like. And I'm not upset about it, because I have such a variety of foods to choose from. Now, let me look, the food that we're eating today ain't food in no way. It's not. Have y'all noticed that it's not doing what it used to do for us? It's like a lot of the love that went into it and a lot of the nutritional value that was really adding to our lives before all of this salt and sugar and chemicals and all of that they put in the food. When I'm eating and things like that, sometimes it don't feel like I ate a thing. I have not been fulfilled. I just know that I ate. So what I have done was purposely determined to drink way more water. Once I know I've had a reasonable portion of a balanced meal, that's it. Because I know that the more I eat, it's not going to be to my benefit, especially if it's something that is not beneficial to my body. Likewise, in the kingdom of God, if you're filling yourself with more things that are not beneficial to your body as a member of the body of Christ, and I mean your spirit and your mind and your soul, it's going to be unhealthy. You're going to suffer from spiritual issues. You don't want to be spiritually paralyzed to where you can't get a prayer through, or you can't intercede for nobody else, and your testimony and things like that has been choked out by the things of this world, because no sooner than God fills you with his word and his presence, you allow these old habits and these old things and you know, these situations to choke the very seeds of life that God has placed in you. Only you can prevent. Y'all remember that commercial? Smokey the Bear, only you can prevent forest fires. But listen, only you can prevent ... whatever that is. It's up to you. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Because anything else other than those two things is sin. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be lukewarm with God. You got to be all the way in or all the way out. You can't play hokey pokey with God. You got to put your whole self in or take your whole self out. And so that's it. God wants us to get God in this hour, y'all. There's some things that are coming, and now is there's going to take every bit of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost for us to overcome these things. But the word of the Lord admonishes us not to be afraid, because he will uphold us with his right hand of righteousness. But in order for him to do that, you have to want to hold his hand. You have to accept his right hand of righteousness. That's where the right hand of fellowship comes from. You have to want to embrace him in his fullness. You have to want the things of God, desire the things of God. You have to want it more than anything else. You have to be relentless and pursue God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your spirit. Love him. Serve him. embrace him, and then pour into others as he poured into you. This is how we walk by faith and not by sight, and we serve the Lord with gladness. Isn't he worth all of that? Absolutely. So, change your palate, change your thoughts, change your mindset, change your life. It comes full circle. Take one area at a time, one moment at a time. Don't try to, listen, we don't climb no mountains anyway, but don't try to climb Mount Everest. That God ain't told none of us to do that. The things that you do know, that you have issues with, lay those at the feet of Jesus. His inbox never gets full. He waiting for you to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Amen. Amen. All right. I love you guys. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for your prayers, your concerns, the shout outs, the check in on us on social media, the emails and all those kinds of things. I appreciate y'all. All of my beautiful people in Benin, Nigeria, I love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for tuning in into another episode of Having a Moment with Moni. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, because you are God and because you are good. Beside you, there is none other. There is no other name alone by which we can be saved and rescued and healed and delivered and set free, Father God, provided for. Thank you for your providential care, Father. Everyone who's under the sound of my voice who is seeking you for one thing or another, Father, I pray you grant it unto them according to their faith, O God, and according to your will for their lives, O God. I pray that if there's any sick among us, Father, your word says that by your stripes we are healed. So I decree and declare healing in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that every need shall be met. I thank you, Lord God, that you have opened blinded eyes and deaf ears, that you have unclogged hard hearts and broken spirits. Your word said you are near to the brokenhearted, you bind up our wounds, Father. Thank you for binding up our wounds and healing us from all manner of sickness, illness, and disease, oh God. Father, I pray for every person who is seeking resources, wherever they're seeking resources, Father, to be able to live and survive and thrive in this world, Father, that you lead them and guide them into all truth and righteousness. Let them not be a victim of scammers or trickery or those who would prey on them instead of pray for them. I thank and praise you for having a moment with Moni as it continues to reach the masses, oh God, that it continues to go to all the four corners of the earth, oh God. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. I hope to see you on Jackie Stamps' show on Elevation TV on Roku on Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturday morning, Disability in the Church with Dr. Donita Edwards on Facebook Live. I love you guys, and I'm gone.